How many of you trust God? Do you trust God? Okay. Generally, most people look at that objectively, in that God can be trusted. I want to talk to you this morning about what happens in your life when you call out and say, Lord, teach me to trust you fully. It becomes very subjective then. Now this morning will be a little bit raw. It may go on longer than a bit normal. That's because it comes from my own experience. And just some of the things that have happened in my life when I made that request of God 30 years ago. My wife looked at me and she said, Steve, do you know what you've just done? I said, yeah. She said, I'm in it with you. That was a relief. I already trusted God, but I didn't fully trust him. Now the first thing that happened at that time, and I'm just going to sit here and talk, I think, rather than preach. The first thing that happened at that time was I was running a business and I was having cash flow problems. We were doing a lot of work for Panasonic Australia and they were having cash flow problems and couldn't pay their accounts. I had a good relationship with my bank manager, fortunately, but he died quite suddenly. The accountant took the chair and the accountant and I had never got on. You know what that's like, don't you? So my business is right out behind the bank, and he met me outside and he said, Steve, you don't deserve to be in business. I'm going to put you out of business. He called in my fully drawn loan. He called in the lease on my vehicle. He stopped payment for electricity, rent, telephone. I had a wife and three children to support. We didn't know where our next meals were coming from. We had customers turn up at the shop completely out of the blue. Now, no one knew the circumstances of this except one man who was a local police officer. He and I were in Gideon's together. He was the only one who knew, and he had money put aside to give me, and God spoke to him and said, no, I'm teaching a lesson. But we had customers turn up at the shop with boxes of vegetables. They said, look, our garden's overflowing. Can you use these? I said, yes, thank you very much. And for a period of about 3 months, God sustained us. I was learning to trust him. There were many other things that happened. I was at a camp up north of Richmond and I just had a real impression from God. He wanted me to empty my wallet into the offering. And I knew I didn't have enough petrol left to get home. I was living at Moss Vale at the time. So I emptied my wallet. And I thought, well, Lord, you've seen me do this. You've probably got someone here who will come and give me some money for petrol. Nope. Time came to leave and go home. So I started off. I had a 1974 Falcon Fairmont station wagon.
And I headed down the road towards Penrith, where I turned off. And I thought, well, Lord, maybe you've got a hitchhiker along the way I can pick up and I'll have money for petrol. Nope. So I turned the corner to head to Wallachia. And as I turned the corner, the fuel was so low I couldn't even hear it sloshing around in the tank. But I kept driving. And as I turned the corner around the Estonian church at Suomia, I can still visualise myself pulling out my wallet and opening it up and holding it before the Lord and saying, look, Lord, no money. Pointing at the fuel gauge and saying, look, Lord, no petrol. Hallelujah. And I continued driving the back road to Moss Vale via Buxton, Balmoral, that way, where there is no traffic anyway. And I got through to Moss Vale, went into my shop, got some money and went and got some petrol. But I covered that distance with no petrol in the car. Just learning to trust God. And yeah, it's a growing thing. It's not something that just happens automatically. It's something that you enter into and you have to learn step by step to trust God. One of our sons, our youngest son, Philip, was born with no irises in his eyes, so he's legally blind. He's got about 30% vision in one eye. And he was wanting to head off to a blind society, Royal Blind Society camp. And he had to get his note signed by me. He'd forgotten to get it signed. So he's crossing the road from the school in Moss Vale on a pedestrian crossing to come and get this note signed. He gets hit by a car on a pedestrian crossing. Goes up on the window, on the windscreen of the car, and then headfirst onto the road, and he's lying across two lanes. And there's a truck coming the other way. The car that hit him stopped. Philip was knocked unconscious. But in his unconscious state, he was turned 90 degrees on the road. The truck missed him. When he woke up, he was parallel with the lines in the middle of the road. And he got up and ran. And came and brought the note to me. So it was a hit and run. The driver stopped and the victim ran. But as he walked into my shop, I looked at him, gravel rash all down one side, and I said, what happened to you? He said, oh, I just got hit by a car. So at that point, shock set in and the ambulance came and found him in my shop, which was about a kilometre away. And they took him to hospital. No concussion, no bruising, though he had indentations from the bitumen or the blue metal in the road in his head. But no concussion, no bruising. And we know he bruises because he ended up going to the camp and he came back with bruises all over his arm from archery training. Trusting God. And we treated our children all the same. They all had to help with washing and wiping up. We had 6 beautiful parfait glasses, fairly delicate. Phil dropped one of those as he was wiping it up. Smashed on the floor, of course. But he went down to grab it and caught his arm on broken glass that he couldn't see. And ended up with about 30 stitches in his arm. Next morning, there's still 6 parfait glasses in the cupboard. How? I don't know. Because there was a broken one in the bin. I don't know. but it was part of a journey of trusting God. Years later, probably would have been about 2008, Pam and I were talking about who we would prefer to go first, as you do when you get older. And she had the preference that it would be her. Anyway, I had a dream. I had a dream during the night, and in this dream, we were both driving along the road towards a big golden powerhouse up on a hill on the right. And as we drove along, we came to a road that went off down to the right. And she stopped me and she said, "Steve, let me out here and I'll meet you there." So I did. And she toddled off down the road and gave me a huge wave and said, "Yeah, cheerio, I'll meet you there." So I drove on and eventually got to the powerhouse on the hill. I pulled over on the side of the road and was suddenly very tired. So I curled up in the front seat of the car and went to sleep. When I woke, I was in the powerhouse and so was she. And I woke from that dream knowing that it was a prophetic dream that she would go first. 2012, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and fairly aggressive. She had treatment, she had mastectomy, chemotherapy, but no avail really. And I had peace, and so did she, because this was God's plan. She was going first. And the knowledge of that gave me the strength to take her funeral, because I knew this was God's plan. He'd already shown me, before she was even diagnosed with cancer, he'd shown us. And it's such a beautiful way of living. Now, when she was diagnosed, we had borrowed against our house to help our kids out. And so we still had a reasonable mortgage on the house. And I wrote to the Commonwealth Bank and they just wrote back and said, "You'll both be on pensions. We don't think you'll be able to manage your mortgage. We want you out in 30 days. And we lost everything. But we didn't lose our faith. And God arranged a house in Cooma, almost identical to the one we lost, for $230 a week rent. I'm still in that house and I'm only paying $250. Now that's 6 years later. God knew that on a single pension I wouldn't have been able to afford the mortgage. And it was trust. We left the house. It was a bitter experience, I'll say that. It was a bitter experience leaving the house. But God's provision was beautiful. Our furniture fitted in the same place in the new house. Exactly the same place. And although Pam couldn't take to the garden, she'd lost the impetus for gardening, which I think was partially due to the cancer as well. But she settled into the house. And it was part of trusting God. So that's my message this morning. What it is to trust God. Now I'll ask another question. And I don't expect an answer. This is between you and God. Are you prepared to trust God? Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, you call us to a life of trust. You call us to submit ourselves to you. You call us to surrender our lives to you and to live for you. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes we can't see the way ahead. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to know that your ways are perfect. And if we submit ourselves to you, our ways will be perfect in your sight because we trust you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.